Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour on Robbie and Rex Road, talking all things Tennessee Titans. You're 8 days away from the draft. Paul Kuharski presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, a family-owned business that is local to Nashville.
Nashville's barbecue city. When I get a craving, there's only one place I go. That's Edley's. I may head out there tonight. Have to decide which one. Edley's is a local family-owned business. Was voted the best barbecue in Nashville for the second year in a row in 2023. I'm sure it's going to win again in 2024. Their food is spectacular. Their service, second to none. Everything on the menu is great. I can never resist the burnt ends, though sometimes I have the brisket plate. Edley's goal is to make the world a better place by making people happy. You need to head to one of their many locations, make it a regular stop, see for yourself how they're making people happy every day. Support Nashville's best barbecue and let them cater your next event. Edley's Barbecue, service with Southern soul.
8 days away from the draft, PK. Do you think once we reach this point, because there's and it's starting now and there will be more until the draft comes. I mean, last year there was all the C.J. Stroud stuff about how the S2 and he's going to fall in the draft and all this stuff. And there's all this information that gets spewed out there. Do you think when we reach this point where we're less than 2 weeks away and closing in on a week away from the draft that we actually learn anything really new in the process, or is it a bunch of smokescreen stuff this time of year?
No, I think we might learn something new. The thing is that people are much more paranoid about talking, right? And, you know, some teams, they wrap up and kind of send their scouts home. You know, teams' intentions are more and more kept super secret, you know. And the Titans guys, it may be Rand and Brinker and Callahan who really know what they're doing, because teams keep a tighter and tighter circle because they're scared of information getting out or information that they don't want out getting out.
Yep.
So in that regard, there's less and less. The one thing that I think a lot of fans misconstrue is that stuff that does come out that might be good from, you know, a Matt Miller or Dane Brugler or whomever at this stage, they mistake for teams learning that stuff now. It's not teams learning that stuff now. I think teams outside of maybe their 30 visits that are, I think, close to wrapping up now, they might be learning something from that. Otherwise, you know, they might be scrapping for any little piece of information, but the files are virtually closed. That a reporter or draft analyst is getting a little piece of information is new,
right?
But it's not the team necessarily getting new information right now. It's somebody reporting on it getting a new piece of information from the team that might have gotten that piece of information 6 weeks ago at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, during the 30 visit, or whatever. And fans are like, oh, their Titans are just finding something out. Titans are a bad example because it's airtight. But whatever team is okay letting stuff out, they're letting out stuff that they've known for a while. We might be hearing about it now. That doesn't mean the team's just learning about it now.
Well, with that in mind, that brings me to now that we're about a year out, and I honestly, I'd have to go back and read everything and try to reabsorb everything, but what happened with C.J. Stroud, the Titans – that whole thing, right? A year later, you have to summarize that in a quick synopsis. What happened?
I just think far too much was made of it. I mean, I think it was obvious that they probably wanted to move up and be a player for a primary quarterback. I think it's easy to draw a line from them to Stroud as the quarterback that best fit them and maybe was a realistic possibility for a trade up. But I wrote, like, to say that the Titans somehow got played in that draft on Stroud is pretty silly, because the Titans had what pick in that draft?
Were they – they weren't 11 originally, were
11.
They? 11. Yep, 11.
So they're 11. And Houston is, what, 4? So how do you get played by a team that's that far ahead of you?
Well, the idea being that you tipped them off, that you were going to try to make that big of a leap, so they did what they did as a result of that. That which is, you know, you just said, you know, teams are, sometimes teams, I mean, teams can get it. Whether that actually happened or not, I mean, that's an example
division,
of a possibility.
Do we think a division rival that plays the Titans twice a year, that's very familiar with their playing style, where their coach came from, didn't have an idea that the Titans would be interested in C.J. Stroud? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that that was one of many things that they thought possible. But again, that day the drum was beating right on the Titans and Stroud. So again, did that make a difference or not?
To me, I don't think it made a huge difference. I have a hard time believing that somebody in the building told Diana Rossini that they wanted to go up and get C.J. Stroud. Like, what? How would that help them? And why would they do that? A team that never says anything about anything, really. What's the purpose?
Good question.
But the idea that that alone somehow let the Texans dupe them. I mean, the Texans had a pretty good plan there to do what they did. We think that came together in a minute after they heard a report that the Titans were interested in Stroud. I don't. I think it's more complex than that. I think it's pretty obvious that the – I mean, I think a lot of us said, well, if the Titans could have a quarterback in this draft, it'd be C.J. Stroud. And where would they have to go to get C.J. Stroud? Well, safely, you'd have to go to Arizona. Well, who has more capital to deal with Arizona than the Titans do? Well, their division rival Houston does. You know, and I talked to somebody in the building afterwards, and they said, it's pretty hard to say you got outplayed by a team that's seven picks
ahead.
Had
the edge. Had the edge on you from the start.
Yeah, no question. So on the alt front, there's the Chargers at 5 in front of them, the Jets conceivably at 10 behind them, depending on how they view their offensive line situation now that they've signed Tyron Smith. So, like, if Alt is the guy they've circled in on, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I mean, that's what the mock drafts tell us, but the mock drafts and reality sometimes are two different things. So, if Alt is the guy they've circled in on as the guy that they want, how concerned are they about the Chargers? We've had some fans ask us about the possibility of moving up to get in front of the Chargers, which to pay that price to go up and get an offensive tackle, I don't even think you can consider that if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans.
They can't move up. I mean, maybe if they had a third, they could move up in a deal where you would wind up with as many picks, just worse picks. But they don't have the ammunition to move up.
I'm sure that's what Harbs wants. He wants the Titans or the Jets or somebody to think that he's going to take them otherwise,
well,
right?
But they don't have the ammunition to move up, but also, like, why? I wouldn't do that. Even we know they need a left tackle, but like, if the worst case scenario here is one of those receivers falling to you, then
that's exactly what I say. And I think if Alt goes, then there's a pretty good chance that Neighbors is there. That's a damn good consolation prize. I wouldn't call it a consolation prize. It may be better.
Yeah,
I mean, Neighbors, I would, you know,
it's pretty good.
The consensus amongst the best local draft guys is that Neighbors is a better football player than Joe Alt is. So you come out of that pretty well. Or if Alt's gone at 7 and you know, again, we've talked about it, if they've got Fashanu and Latham and some of these other guys graded pretty tightly with Alt, you could take one of those guys at 7. Or, you know, if one of those teams at 11, 12, 13 want up, you could get back to 11, 12, 13, 11, 13. I don't think 12. I don't think Denver's got the ammunition to move up because they're still suffering from Russell Wilson trade. Yep. But you can move back there and conceivably get Fashanu or certainly Latham and recoup the third rounder that you lost in the Levis trade and then address your three top needs in the three top round.
Yeah, the thing is about, and we've been talking about this a week and sort of going back a little bit with Zach, you know, I think he's a little down on the Alt idea just in terms of, okay, well, if he's like Brugler compared him to Jake Matthews, you know. Okay. To me, if you have that certainty that you're going to get a good to really good left tackle over a long time, yeah, I think that's – you can do so much worse than that. But also, that is why you would not trade up for that player.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yes,
that.
Right.
I mean,
there's no trade. I don't think there's any trade up here. You just – the roster is – It's thin on the front line, and it's thin on behind. It's thin on all levels, and they need too much to be able to trade up. That's a nice idea, but it's not going to happen. And, you know, you got a decent chance of Ault being there. But, again, what are the odds that Ault and Neighbors are both gone there? I think if Ault and Neighbors are both gone there, then a quarterback's there, and a quarterback's going to be coveted, and your trade back option's going to be pretty good.
Well, also,
so I think you're looking at those three options. You got Ault, you've got Neighbors, or you've got a very attractive trade back scenario for a quarterback.
And I'd love to know what they think of Adunze, too, because one of those three for sure will be there.
Yes.
Ault, Neighbors, or Adunze.
And I think the general consensus.
Or you have Drake May there, and you take Drake May and prosper.
In the draft industrial media complex, Fashion News become not worth the seventh pick. But once upon a time, he was very much worth the seventh pick. So, you know, I think people would be disappointed if they took him at seven, not disappointed if they took him at 11 or 13. But, you know, it's not that giant a difference there either. Well, if you see him as your, you know, a two or three contract guy at left tackle.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up next, talking all things Titans in the NFL draft. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky with you here on this Wednesday morning, talking all things Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK, how do you view Dallas Turner? He's the top edge guy for most people on the board. We've discussed, obviously, the Titans need another edge rusher. Going edge rusher at seven would be a surprise. Not a shock, but a surprise. How do you view the Dallas Turner part of this in terms of the quality of player you think he is? And if that's the route the Titans go, what do you think the reaction would be to that?
I'm not sure he's the best edge rusher in the draft. I think it's an offensive-loaded draft. I think you've got an offensive coach coming in who you want to give all the resources. I think they definitely need edge help, but I think it could come later. I really like Missouri's Robinson. Braswell from Alabama is a guy that could be in that 38-ish range. I mean, if they did a big trade down, Mike Herndon really likes the UCLA kid who I'm impressed by as well. But I don't think there's like a clear edge one in this. And if they took Dallas Turner at seven, I'd be very disappointed given the offensive options and the and Callahan's emphasis on touchdown scorer, and then I would go from there to an enabler of touchdown scoring. I've got concerns about the defense for sure, but I just don't think it can be the priority right now. Now, if there was a stud and you said, you know, well, look, everybody's taking offensive players and we can get the best defensive player in this, and there was a clear best defensive player, it'd be a different story.
Yep.
But nobody's talking about him that way.
Yeah, it would be that's the thing. I don't mind the idea, even though they have offensive needs, if it's not a reach, but it just seems like a reach. If he's Will Anderson, then okay, then that's different.
And if he's Will Anderson, he'd be gone before seven.
Right. Which, by the way, Stilly is savaging you and says, I forgot. I guess Charles did report that it was actually the Houston did react to the Titans, to the public, you know, nature of the Titans' supposed interest in Stroud. So you're wrong.
Well, that's fine if that happened, but I still think Arizona gets an offer from the Titans. Arizona then is checking with everybody else about what they offer.
What's your best bet?
Yeah, so Austin Fort calls Casario and says, well, Titans are looking to come up here. So you're saying you'd let them pick Will Anderson second and then the Titans make a trade? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not as
fine. No, I know.
As bewildered by it and as insisted on it.
Oh, yeah. You need to make excuses for the Titans to keep your access.
That's what I do. All right, well, let's open up to your excuse. Let's open up to your excuse. The Titans made potentially the worst first-round pick in the history of football. and Isaiah Wilson. And what was the, one?
That is bold.
Well, the guy played four snaps.
That is true.
He looks stout.
Okay, Jamarcus Russell played more than four snaps.
He looks stout. He looks good out there.
But what did you say? it can be forgiven because the guy changed his stripes when he got here. There were no indications in the scouting that he was going to be a problem, is what you said.
Do you want me to read what I actually said, or do you want to just make crap up?
Well, read the line that you said.
Okay.
You want to talk about a Titans apologist.
Oh,
I mean, this is pathetic.
Okay. Well, then you must have new information I don't have. But here's what I wrote. Yes, in my draft guide, in which we also went back through the last five
picks. Which you were 32nd of 32 guys at The Athletic to write a draft guide.
They don't even have all 32 right now. Shut up. All right, so...
Yeah, they don't have the Jaguars up because nobody reads Jaguar stuff.
Okay, what did I say? Yeah, for all the fair criticisms of Robinson and Vrabel, this wasn't a case of deficient vetting. That's what I wrote.
Absolutely is a case of deficient vetting.
They vetted him. They vetted him. So here's the feedback they got. One was a little bit immature, and there was one thing where he went to a workout with, I think, like in Houston, where people were wondering if maybe he was hungover. That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's my vetting, Joe.
Okay.
His Twitter handle is Lazy Panda.
Oh, God. Okay. You're just being, right? You're being
no, I'm serious. If you call yourself lazy
stupid
with pride, and you're all about, I'm going to only bring players on this team who love ball.
Okay, if that's
how
different.
Well did you really dive into this? Yeah. And then it was over, they washed their hands of it very quickly. Oh, the guy changed. We didn't see it coming because he wasn't like this. And then
he would have flunked out of school in a month if he did the same crap in Georgia that he did here.
Oh, because they hold people to a very high.
Oh no, because you can just totally just fall off the face of the earth and just still be on a college football team. Don't be stupid.
No,
you're being stupid on this.
You are being completely doing what they want. They told you, hey. The guy was nothing like this. Everybody checked out. Pittman gave him a rave endorsement.
I'm not.
We love him. And he turned into a different guy and he was terrible. And you said, you know what? I let him off the hook for this first round pick that sent them down a spiral.
Hey, Paul,
that they still haven't
recovered. If you have
from
information, great. If you're going, lazy panda, you're just full of crap. I'm not going with just what the Titans told me. This is what league-wide, the evaluation of Isaiah Wilson, a lot of other teams vetted him too.
You know what a lot of other teams didn't do? Draft him.
Okay. It was a bad pick. If you don't think it's possible that someone gets a lot of money during COVID, comes to a new city, and goes completely haywire, then you're stupid.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
All of these things can happen.
That's what did
happen.
You
have to have a sense of if a guy could go down this path. When he goes down this path, you have to get some control of him.
Well, okay.
This didn't happen to anybody else, Joe. Find me a guy in the last 10 years. Find me a guy in the last 20 years who came into the league and played four snaps and who you kicked off your team after 8 or 12 games and sent home.
So maybe.
Find me one.
So
find
does
me one.
That tell you that maybe it's a little bit of a special case, a little bit of an extreme case?
Well,
maybe?
How did you
what do you
happen,
think?
How did you happen to hit the dartboard on the special case? Just dumb luck? The Titans just that dumb lucky?
No. I think that they went through the process. Everybody told him he doesn't go to class. He doesn't practice. He's
that's
awful.
A guy I want.
He's a
Let's
terrible...
get him in my class.
Well, no. I mean, I'm sure. I'm being sarcastic. Like, how stupid is it to think through this, Paul? So you think that they actually had all this information and said, ah, screw it. We're drafting him anyway. How stupid is that?
I think that they had to have some inclination that he was this thing. And what they had is a God complex. I can fix this guy. I see this on tape.
Paul.
He's going to come here. We're going to manage him.
Was that the
because
same
I'm
Big
the
Beasley
great
year?
John Robinson.
What's that?
And I'm the great Mike Vrabel.
Was that the same Vic Beasley year?
And what we do is we're smarter than everybody, and we're going to bring this guy in, and he's going to be great for us. And
listen,
when he busts,
that's...
I can manipulate Joe Rexroad into saying, well, he's just a completely different guy when he got here. We'll just wash our hands of it, and we'll fix it with Dylan Radins. Oh, he'll say Dylan Radins had a tough time because it was a COVID year, and he played one game as a senior.
That is the same year as Vic Beasley. That's quite the run they went on.
I love ball meter is really cranking.
Again, I love ball, that stuff, and those are all fair criticisms of those guys. They did do that stuff. But this case with him was extreme. And no, the vetting did not produce it. And no, I'm not going with Titans information only on that. Believe me, we had probably eight people on a conference call because we were going to do a huge thing on Isaiah Wilson. We went through everything.
But you couldn't find Isaiah Wilson, so it was a hard story to do.
Well, that's true. But it was a very detailed, everything that anybody in this league heard about him in the process. I got the one thing about showing up to a workout and people thought they smelled beer. Don't tell me that I just listened to the Titans on this crap. That's not true.
That's fine that you got all of this, but you're still very forgiving that they were the one team that took him.
Because, Robbie, help me out. Like, he's not using his head logically right now. This is amazing.
You are on the hook for what the guy does after you draft him.
Sure. And they paid. I mean, those guys don't work here anymore.
They paid with the forgiveness that you're giving them there. Well,
but
they
still
vetted
paying.
Him great. It just sucks.
The vetting
Nicholas
did not come
Petit
back
Frere,
with this.
And now... But you're ready to draft another tackle, baby. Just tackles galore.
Right. Hey, based on Joe's thing, just go look for the guy with the dumbest Twitter handle that announces his behavior pattern.
Anybody check
and
Joel,
that's who they're taking in the
Joel
first round.
Twitter?
What's Dallas Turner's Twitter handle?
I think if Paul
I hate football. If there's a guy out there that says, I hate
99.
Football. Yeah, that's who the Titans are taking. That's what who they should take, according to Joe.
With Paul Karski.
I go to bars next. Only.
Take your thoughts.
I smoke weed constantly. at college parties.
7-9-3-7-4.
Welcome up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with you, presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, voted Nashville's best barbecue in 2023.
We like local family-owned businesses around here, and Edley's is one of those. It was also voted the best barbecue in Nashville for the second year in a row in 2023. Makes sense because their food's spectacular and their service is second to none. Their goal is to make the world a better place by making people happy, and they're certainly doing just that. Go support Nashville's best barbecue at one of Edley's convenient locations. They're all over the place. This is not like Rex Road going on a road trip and then going an hour outside of town to a barbecue place. You can throw a stone in Nashville and find an Edley's. Go eat at one of those convenient locations or get Edley's to cater your next big event. You can't go wrong with Edley's. Check them out.
Any recent trips lately? To a barbecue joint an hour outside of town?
Lexington Barbecue. I would highly recommend that. In Lexington, North Carolina, by the way.
If you happen to be in Lexington, North Carolina, which nobody
check it out.
Happens to be there.
No, I'm sure some people
it
happen
could
be to be
driving
there
through there on your way to Charlotte.
Any good barbecue in Vancouver? Probably not.
I don't know, but I bet you some good poutine, though. Some good poutine, baby. So. How about some poutine, PK? You some poutine?
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
You've never tried poutine?
Yeah, I've tried poutine, of course.
I've never tried poutine.
That was outside Charlotte?
It's America.
It was north of Charlotte. So
how do we rank Charlotte as a city?
I like Charlotte. I think it's a fine city.
Charlotte is lame. Charlotte was like Charlotte and Nashville were kind of even for a while.
Yeah.
And then like Charlotte stopped trying.
Just gave up.
They're like, okay.
Like Isaiah Wilson, just call today.
Well, no.
That's it.
They were better than Isaiah Wilson, which wasn't hard to be. But they were like, they were like, all right, we got some big banks here, and that seems like what we should do. We'll be a banking town.
Yeah.
And then they just like, all right, that's it.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tyler. Tyler, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, it's Tyler Rowland from the Locked On Titans podcast, fellas. Doing a good show.
Thanks, buddy.
I had to call in about this C.J. Stroud narrative, though, and begrudgingly, I have to agree with Paul. I think it is a
begrudging. Why every time somebody agrees with me is it begrudging? It's ridiculous. Well, if I make a good point, I make a good point.
You got me blocked, Paul. You got me blocked because you thought I was taking shots at you in an article, but I wasn't even talking about you. But either way, that's water under the bridge. I don't care.
Wasn't even talking about me. What you do is aggregate for a living. You take my stuff and you make a career out of it. It's a very noble living.
Original ideas.
That you sit there and you take everybody who works for a living and goes out and reports, and then you build your career off of taking our stuff, posting it faster than we can, and doing that.
Let Tyler make his point.
Yes.
Make your point.
Anyway, CJ Stroud, the assumption or the suggestion that the Texans weren't going to take CJ Stroud until they found out from Diana Russini that the Titans were interested in trading up to 3. I think it's absurd. It's like saying that you got offered a promotion at work and you don't want the promotion, so you turn it down, but you find out the guy 2 cubicles over who you don't like is going to take it, so you change your mind. The Texans were never going to pass on C.J. Stroud at 2. There was nothing the Titans could have done. They couldn't make a trade with the Texans to number 2. The only option they had was number 3. And to say that, well, the Texans weren't going to take C.J. Stroud. They were going to take Will Anderson, and they were going to pass on C.J. Stroud. And then, oh, Diana Russini just reported the Titans are going to trade up to 3 for Stroud if he's there. Oh, now we have to take the quarterback. Like, taking a quarterback and picking your franchise superstar, the face of your franchise, is such an important decision. To think that they didn't want C.J. Stroud but changed their mind once the Titans decided that they wanted to come up and get C.J. Stroud, I just think it's absurd to think that the Texans didn't want Stroud, but once the Titans were interested, now they changed their mind, decided, hey, we're going to trade up to 3 and get Will Anderson. Like, I just think it's an absurd suggestion. And people who criticize, I'm more than happy to criticize the Titans. I do it all the time. To think that people are criticizing the Tennessee Titans for leaking their draft plans and having that impact, it just had no impact at all, because the Texans were never going to pass on C.J. Stroud at 2 if they believed in him. And if they didn't believe in him,
they didn't change their mind. Did a good job repeating what I said 4 times and adding a bad analogy.
Thanks, Tyler.
Not a fan.
Appreciate it, Tyler. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Will. Will, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes. Morning.
Okay, great. Hey, couple things. My Titans question is this, which y'all address this after I hang up. If I asked each of the 3 of y'all, who would you be disappointed in the Titans taking, within reason? I don't mean a punter. I don't mean a quarterback. I mean, sure, within reason, meaning all the guys that are swirling around, of all those guys, who would each of you be a little disappointed in? I think Paul mentioned Turner earlier. I thought that was astute commentary. Secondly, Lexington, North Carolina. My daughter got a ticket there. Yay. Driving back from Winston, Wake Forest to Charlotte to get a flight for Steel, the court dates this summer. She was going way too fast.
Criminal.
We'll deal with that in June. And then lastly, Paul, I'm going to see Springsteen tomorrow night. In lovely Syracuse. So I hadn't seen him in 15 years since Bridgestone, and really excited. I've seen the set list, and it looks great.
Yeah, this two shows ago, the set list was ridiculously good. Seats are really inexpensive at Syracuse. I'm thinking about going to Columbus on Sunday, and the seats are not inexpensive. I'm waiting for the press to come
out. Thanks, Will.
Have a blast. The guy I do not want them to take is Fuaga from Oregon State. And I don't think he's in the realm of possibility, but a lot of people like him as a tackle. He is not a great lateral mover. I mean, he is a bully, and he will beat the hell out of people. But I think left tackle, and I'm looking for Taylor Lewan-type movement, which is a very, very extreme. You're not getting that from anybody in this draft. Yep. But I want somebody that can really move, and this guy is not a great lateral mover. I think he's
more of a guard, right?
Yeah, he's more of a guard, but some people are projecting him as a tackle. I don't see him as a tackle at all. I'm scared of him.
Mine's Latham, and the reason being, I don't want anybody that you're not convinced can play left tackle. If you're going to take somebody that high, you need to be convinced that they're a left tackle.
And I will say the one thing about him is that Callahan has a great record, Bill Callahan, of moving guys. It's pretty seamlessly from right to left. So if they were to take him, you could say, all right, Callahan's convinced he can put this guy on the left and be and he'll be fine.
That's fine, but at 7, I want somebody that I know can play left tackle.
I would agree with that. That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's in play at 7, though. I would say he's the guy if you're at 13.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's alter Fashanu. But I'd probably agree with you on that. To me, that's just like
Fuaga.
I mean, of course, speaking of guard, I mean, Brugler in The Beast wrote that a lot of teams apparently think that about Latham, too, that that guard could actually be his
best
spot.
He's got Fontenot as a guard. I think he's a tackle. And I really like the way he moves. His movement impressed me as much as any of the offensive linemen I watched move at the combine. And when I say at the combine, I mean after I got back from the combine and sat in front of the TV on Sunday night and actually watched offensive line. But he's got him as a number one guard, Brugler. Yeah, I was looking for
hashtag him. Paul's film room.
Paul's film room.
Yeah, Paul's film room. Yes, I do not pretend to be a film guy. That's why I have a couple good film guys writing at paulkuharsky.com. Mike Herndon's favorite guys in this draft for the Titans will publish not long after we go off the air.
Zach, by the way, says he doesn't hate Joe Alt, but he just doesn't
he doesn't see a huge separation between Joe Alt and the rest.
Close.
Yeah, both of those guys, who are very good, don't see a huge separation between Alt and the rest of the field. And generally, the good national guys, I don't feel like do either. Nobody's saying like Joe Alt is Joe Thomas.
Right. Right. I mean, you're right. Now, like Brugler thinks it's Alt one clearly, and then there you know then there's the field. But yeah,
even his write up of Alt is not is glowing. Not, right. It's the write ups of the other guys that are lesser.
Yeah, my boy Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us talking all things Titans.
What was the one thing I told you I needed to get off my chest? And now I forgot it. I needed to get off my chest so badly that I forgot it.
John Sterling.
John Sterling is being hailed as an all-time great broadcaster. John Sterling is awful. Awful, awful, awful. They had a guy, two guys, Hank Greenwald and Tommy Hutton, who took over for Phil Rizzuto in an old booth that were classic guys.
Talking about with the Yankees.
With the Yankees, a radio booth. These guys were terrific. They gave him about 3 years, they fired him, and then they hired John Sterling. This guy, look, he's got a flair for the dramatic. You might like the home run calls. I go around saying, oh, Yankees win, right, because it's stupid. This guy, as a picture painter, is horrific. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Did the outfielder have a play on it, or was it hit out of the stadium? Like, for a radio broadcast, I have no idea if this ball was just barely out of the park, out of the field of play, or if it was in the third deck. Giancarlo Stanton, he came up with a home run call because Giancarlo sounds Italian that included Italian. He'd never been to Italy. He has no Italian whatsoever. I mean, the pomposity and the grandeur, people got sucked into it. He painting a picture was horrible. The last couple years during COVID and everything, he couldn't see anything. He should have retired like 8 years ago.
You know, we gave you the rant today.
Yeah, I know. I just had to get this off my chest.
A number of things that you've bitched about since then.
He is absolutely horrible. It's going to be honored Saturday at Yankee Stadium. It's going to be unbearable. How people love this guy, I don't know. I cannot wait.
I saw you tweet about it.
I cannot wait for his replacement to actually tell me what's going on in the game.
Who's he going to be?
I don't know. They've had rotating people, so I don't know who full-time. And Susan Waldman should go right behind him. Oh, my God! Roger Clemens is standing in the booth. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. She actually said this. A man standing. Okay. Was the most unbelievable thing she'd ever seen.
He's in George Steinbrenner's box.
She saw four World Series wins in 5 years, and the most unbelievable thing she'd ever seen is a guy in a suit standing in a box.
Was he like super roided up that day?
Have you not seen this clip? It's hilarious. No. Like, you got to go find it.
Sorry. Thank you for those 2 minutes.
You're welcome. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Just a second. Let me get you the headset.
Thank you.
Yes. So, if we drafted, hang on a second, I'm trying to time this up right.
Yeah, that's okay.
We're being patient, but you know,
off your pillow.
There's a time limit on this
show. Get
some
iced tea. You're fine.
Okay, here's my dream scenario: we trade back, we get a third round back for this year, get a third rounder back to replace what we lost for Snead next year, and then we can get J.C. Latham at right tackle, and then we already have a good relationship with Pete and try to sign him in and get him at left tackle this season for us. Or if he's worth it, Bill Callahan thinks he's worth it, give him a 2-year deal because he can play left tackle.
If they get Latham, he's got to be the starting left tackle. Pete is a guy to have as insurance. Maybe he steps in for a couple games here and there. You don't want him as a starting left tackle. Hopefully he'd be better than the last two left tackles, but they need a very good left tackle. And if he was a very good left tackle, he would not be available on April 17th.
What are the chances that Nicholas Petit-Frere is starting at one of the two tackle spots on opening day.
I think pretty good. I mean, unless he gets beat out by Jalen Duncan, but I think he or Jalen Duncan is probably the starting right tackle.
Jalen Duncan. It's
not an encouraging thought.
I do not anticipate Jalen Duncan beating him out. If he does beat him out, well, I was going to say, then that is Bill Callahan magic. But then again, I guess you could say, well, then what happened to Petit-Frere? Because Bill Callahan's coaching him too.
Well, I think Bill Callahan magic, that's the spot you're looking for it at right tackle. I think some people are like thinking tackle here. I just think.
Would you be mad? Would you rip
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I wouldn't rip it. I mean.
You don't love ball. I trust
Bill Callahan. But who's rushing the passer? You know, where's the dynamic three wide? You know, it leaves a lot of other questions. And you can only address so much in this draft. And I think you go tackle and. You know, let's see some Callahan magic with some of those guys.
The one thing I want to hammer home in the next
NPF
8 days.
NPF was a third-round pick who played reasonably well as a rookie.
One thing I want to hammer home in the next 8 days. I think there are Titans fans that believe they're now totally set at wide receiver, and they are not.
Absolutely
they are not set at wide receiver.
And if they twist an ankle, exactly. They're really dead. Then Nick Westbrook-Akeen is the number two again.
Man, take some shots at NWI.
I like Ridley. Yep. I like Hopkins. Some of the people who think they're set at wide receiver also think that Treylon Burks is about to have a breakout year. And maybe he does, but I'm so tired of talking about Treylon Burks. They are not set at wide receiver.
And here's the other thing. We've talked about this, Robbie, and I know you're on board with this. You've got to build long-term somewhere. And Ridley's 29, and Hopkins is, what, 31?
Yeah, I mean.
You need a young receiver
for sure.
That's going to be the guy. And I know people are saying, well, if Hopkins has another good year, you don't know what happens with that. You don't know when he hits a wall and all that. We love him. He's good. All of that. But this needs to be a solid three-wide team for Brian Callahan to be Brian Callahan. And there's no third wide receiver on this team right now.
I agree. I look at it two ways. One is just in terms of straight up, what are your positions of need? I don't put receiver super high on the list. However, if you have an opportunity to take a great player who plays receiver, great. Do that. If that's the best guy on the board and it's neighbors,
do
it.
You'd be up for neighbors.
Yes. Are you against them taking
a receiver they like a lot at 38?
No. Yeah. I mean, again, if that's the best football player, they are so devoid of great football players or really good football players.
I'm not against if neighbors and Alt are both there and they go neighbors. I think a lot of people would be like, oh, my God, how could you do that? The left tackle was there. I'm not against that. If you feel like Neighbors is better, take Neighbors.
If you think Neighbors is a better football player than Joe Alt, then you're doing a disservice to yourself by not taking the better football player.
Right. And if they take him, that's exactly what they're saying. Like, no matter what the reaction is on Twitter, if they're on the clock at 7 and Neighbors and Alt are there and they take Neighbors, they've told us. They think Neighbors is a better football player than Joe Alt.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
And it's a new regime. And
it's like the opposite of Corey Davis, where he was taken because of need.
Correct.
Right. Super high and you reached. This would be the opposite. This is the good type of taking a receiver.
Yeah.
High.
Now if it's a Dunze Alt, I'd be very curious. You know, that would be very interesting if
it took
a Dunze overall.
Look, I really like him too. I don't like him as much as I like Neighbors. But
he's a terrific
really
player.
Like
he's a terrific player. All three of those wide receivers are terrific players.
I'm a big Dunze fan.
BK,
sure.
Thanks for being with us.
Block the box. Please lock your locks. Great to be here as always, boys. I love Wednesday mornings.
Next week.
You're wrong about many things today, but we can get to that next week.
Next week, it will be the day before the draft. We'll have our final draft breakdown with PK before the draft happens.
We're going to tell you exactly what's going to happen.
That's right.
And hopefully we'll get a leak from the Titans that'll change everything
change
that happens in front of it.
That does it for us. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.